This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories from local legends in the Australian running community you've simply always wanted to hear. Today in Season 3, Episode 79, I sit down with Queensland elite runners Aidan Hobbs and Callum Davies. Both of these gentlemen just competed in the Ballarat Marathon last weekend. Aidan in the marathon itself, placing 6th with a 2:21, and Callum in the road mile, placing 3rd with a 4:03. Subsequently, we discuss the event in general and their experience in the race. We dove also into the very healthy state of the 1500 meter and marathon event in this country. For example, with the men, we've got around 10 to 12 runners running 3:35 or quicker in the event. And where do we start with the women? Jess Hull is just completely tearing apart running in this country and also worldwide, along with a handful of others, well and truly now breaking the 4 minute barrier, which years ago just seemed so difficult. With the marathon, we've got 6 to 7 men and women who've cracked into that top 10 in the last handful of years, even probably 3 to 4 years with that in mind. To finish, we touch on the participation at the moment within athletics and what it sort of looks like from a widely point of view across the country and in Queensland, how we can get the rec runners, not just running marathons, but into that event, and then finish with both of their running plans for 2025. I hope you enjoy. Welcome officially to the Local Legends in Running podcast. I've got Aidan Hobbs here and Callum Davies. How are we going, boys?
Thanks, Ollie. Yeah, good.
Yeah, good, thanks.
Excellent, guys. It's been, 3 years, I think, for Aidan. And the last time Aidan and I spoke was, it must have been just after the Gold Coast Marathon there, Aidan. And I believe from memory, that was and potentially still your fastest ever marathon. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, you're right. That was 2:20.08. I was agonizingly close to getting under that 2:20 mark and just watched the clock tick down in front of me as I was entering the final stretch.
Yeah, so talking about July 2022, obviously now 2025, the 3rd of May tonight, we talk at 7:45 and of course, Callum, that same year, end of 2022, we spoke to, it must have been maybe November time, heading into track season as well. I'm not sure if you've got any memories of that conversation.
Vaguely.
And we've both come a long way since then. And before we touch on anything, I'd love to hear about, you both run the Ballarat Marathon event last week. Of course, Callum in the mile and Aidan in the marathon. But I've seen Aidan on Strava, lurking around the areas of Toowoomba. So what's happening out there, mate?
Yeah, I'm currently up in Toowoomba. Probably not the smartest idea, but I have come up to run the Queensland Road Mile Championships. That was this afternoon, just before I dialed in for this. And there's a half marathon tomorrow. I did it last year, the half marathon up here, and it's a pretty great event. Ryan McDonald, who organizes the Gold Coast Marathon, he
Yes.
puts on this event with the Queensland events guys, and they just put on a really good show. So I really enjoyed it last time, so I thought I'll come down again. But I wasn't too sure whether the legs would be okay backing up after 6 days later from the marathon, but went for a bit of a jog around through the week and they seemed to be pretty good. So I thought, oh, well, I'll give it a go. Went out for the mile today and it seemed okay. So we'll see how we go tomorrow.
It's crazy. Let's ask the obvious question. How'd you go in the mile?
I guess the way the race played out, I wasn't too sure. Like, I hadn't seen many of the names on the start list. I know Tim Hogno, he's based in Toowoomba. He's a local here. I've run with him a fair few times. He's really come a long way in the last couple of years. So he had me a bit worried. And Connor Whittett as well was another name that I recognized on the start list. But we lined up, we got out there. The 1K, the Queensland Road Mile Champs, they've put them on at the Wellcamp Toowoomba Airport. So it's you start there at the terminal and you run out 200 meters, turn right, and as soon as you turn right, you just hit this awful headwind. It was chaos. So there wasn't too many people keen on taking the lead. I was at the front, so I went, oh well, I'll just keep the pace comfortable. So we were cruising along pretty comfortably, got to the turnaround, and someone just kicked it down and it turned into essentially an 800 meter sprint. So I went with it and I thought, oh, well, if I can hang around third, I might see if I can go. But everyone just kicked down again and up to another level with 400 to go. So I thought, now I'll step aside from this one and kind of cruised it in from there. But I came eighth and I think the time was about 4:39, which would have put me well off Callum's time from last weekend at the Australian Road Mile Champs.
Well, good luck tomorrow, and very interesting to see a week after the marathon you're doing that. Would had that been a situation like, let's say, 8 to 10 years ago? Were you running marathons then? Like, would have you been able to run a mile, years ago after super shoes have come out now? It's a bit easier, isn't it?
It has absolutely made a difference. One of the well the first marathon that I won was the Brisbane Marathon 2008. So that was one of the original marathons. I think I did those in like the Nike Marathoner or one of the like 1 centimeter thick midsole shoes. And I remember getting plantar fasciitis partway through that actually, because it was there's just no protection with those shoes. But definitely with the shoes these days, you can recover and back up a lot better. I think the 2022 Gold Coast Marathon, when I ran that 2:20:08, the week after that I went and did a 30K trail race, the Brisbane Trail Ultra, the following Saturday, which again is not very smart. I wouldn't recommend it, but
I seem to remember that cooked you a bit as well, that
it
trail
did.
run.
It did. It definitely did.
And geez, that was 17 years ago. So I was well off the mark with about 10 years ago with the marathon. But Callum, how have you pulled up from the Ballarat Mile? Have they called that the Australian, speaking of the Queensland champs, have they called that the Australian Road Mile champs as well for Ballarat?
The inaugural Australian Road Mile Champs, I think. It was good. Pulled up fine from it. Similar to Aiden's race today, I think it was a bit more tactical at the start and essentially just a kind of a 700 meter kick down. Probably just from the nature of the course, and not many of us had run many road miles before. No, it was good. It was good.
Yeah, I want to delve into that a bit further, Callum. But by way of agenda today, gents, I reckon we just give the listeners a bit of a refresh as to who you're training with, what you're all about in terms of running and anything else you think important, and experience, PVs, achievements, that kind of stuff. So that'd be awesome. And then we'll get into let's pull apart this Ballarat Marathon. It's the second year running, isn't it? And they changed the course a bit this year, and I know they're supposed to. We're intending to try and make that a fairly quick marathon too. Obviously, Callum, you're in the mile, but love to hear more about the road mile scene too. And then let's get into some 1500 and marathon running here in this country and worldwide, because it's just going absolutely nuts at the moment. And I'm sitting in front of a very good marathoner and a very good 1500 meter runner. So I thought that'd be pretty insightful coming from you guys. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds good.
Excellent. Can we kick off with Aiden? Obviously, been on this show twice, almost 3 years ago, if not a little bit over. But yeah, just a quick little bio here before we get into the proceedings.
Yeah, I guess I'd probably start with the club I run with. I've been within training for many years. I first moved up from Sydney originally. I grew up in Sydney, went to Westfield Sports High School and did athletics there, and moved up to Queensland to study podiatry. And while I was doing that, I met Steve Manning. He's the founder of In Training, and Margot, his wife, used to work at the shop there, and did a bit of training, coaching with them. And I came across Pat Clohessy when I was out at UQ and started joining in with a lot of their sessions. And since then I've kind of been running with the UQ Pat Clohessy squad. They've got a good group that still meets out there. John Purcell is now coaching them, and Paul Sacosta. They've got a lot of up and coming ju juniors. Tate Van Camp, I think, is a name to watch in the future. He's absolutely killing it. I think he's breaking all the Australian age group records and things. So I think, potentially another Cam Myers type name to watch out for. Training wise, recently I've actually just started jumping in with Callum. I was doing evening, like afternoon sessions, but it's been a bit tricky with my work. I've moved into lecturing, so I'm no longer doing podiatry. I was doing health service management for a few years, and I've got evening classes now, so I teach on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 5 to 8. So that kind of wipes out my afternoon. So I go along and jump in with Callum and Jack Bruce occasionally, and do the tempo runs with them.
Excellent, Aidan. And you're often donning the in-training running singlet. So can you just give us a bit of insight into your connection with them?
I guess I probably started running with them in 2007, but I've always known to the Steve and Margot, and been pretty involved in the club. They've got some really good dynamics between the Indooroopilly group and the UQ group, and I've got a good banter with the vice president, Phil Teakle. We give him a bit of a hard time because he's we I think overstate the regal nature of his position. So whenever we go past him, we'll give him a salute out on the road. But In Training is a great club. It's lots of really good runners that just enjoy running and getting out there and training. So
Very good, mate. Can you give us the PBs? 1500 meters up, 15, 5, 10, half marathon. Have you got those in your head?
I think so. Yeah, my 1500 time was a 3:53 hand timed. I did that down at Bankstown. The 3K I think is 8:13. Did that on the Gold Coast, and I remember that one. It was the state championships because I sat in, and coming around with 100 to go, I started blacking out. I thought that I was going to pass out, but managed to hold it going through the line. The steeplechase, 3K steeple, is 8:50. Ran that time twice. That's probably one of my favorite PBs, actually, the steeplechase.
Yeah, I should have had that in there, the steeple. Yeah, go ahead.
I always, when I was at school, I was never really kind of competitive in like the 1500, 3K, 5K. I never qualified for nationals solo. Never qualified for any national cross country at all, and the only way that I ever got to nationals was through the all schools knockout. And by being a member of the team, you get to have one event that you can do at nationals. So that was always the steeplechase for me, and I've kind of kept that going. And so Probably, yeah, 2 years ago, I had a bit of a good run there where I was running some really quick times. But yeah, I try to keep going with the steeplechase and just keep the juniors honest. This year, or each year at the state champs, there's always seems to be one under 20 junior that cleans me up, and they go on to pretty great things. So the first was Kai Robinson. I think he
Oh,
beat me
yeah.
there, and then had who else have we had? We had
I'm trying to think now.
yeah, Joseph Lethlean was this year. He was he got me covered this year. We had
Maybe Matty Clark a while ago. Was he? He's
Harvey
probably.
Cram.
Yeah,
Oh
Harvey
no,
Crick,
well
yeah.
yeah, Harvey Cram got me. Who else have I had? Yeah, a few others, but they've all gone to over to the to college and run really well since then. So that's the steeplechase. 5K was a race with Callum actually, 14:15. So that was a state champs. So I think he finished a little bit ahead of me there, but we had a good battle, me, Callum, and Kieran Perkins. And I think Kieran just got me in the end, but we were pretty tight. But yeah, that was 14:15 for the 5K. 10K is 29:29. That was down at Launceston, half marathon 66, and a marathon 2:20.08.
And Callum, I guess you probably, well, Aidan and I are sort of 10 years senior to you. You're in your late 20s, mid 20s, aren't you? So love to hear again a bit of a refresh of your background and achievements too, and mainly that 15 and 5K, yeah.
Funny, Aidan mentioned 2008 when he ran the Brisbane Marathon. That's about when I started running in primary school, just about, I
Oh,
think.
yeah, right.
I guess I was always kind of good at like cross country, would always win school cross country, whatever, didn't train or anything, just played soccer and cricket and in touch footy and whatnot. And I guess once you're able to go to districts or Met East or whatever, my PE teacher sent me along and I made the district team with no training and recommended I should go along to this squad her daughter trained with, and that was Border Striders with Brian Chapman. So that's kind of how I got into running. Ran with Brian for almost 14 years, I think. It was in the end, and I didn't take it too seriously at the beginning, just kind of did it for a bit of fitness, did cross country, but never did athletics, and would train maybe once, twice a week alongside all my soccer training, and didn't enjoy it particularly much back then, losing everything. I'll go to state champs and occasionally qualify for nationals, but was not competitive at all. And then, so not until late high school that I really gave athletics a crack, and that was pretty much an instant success. I medaled in my first ever state championships, and then made the national final in the 800 and 1500 at my first nationals. So that was pretty cool, and went, okay, this sport's actually good when you're doing well. Which is not a healthy attitude to have, I'll recognize
Yeah.
that. But that kind of kept me going and motivated, and then had a lot more success towards the end of high school with running and into university as well, and started to progress my times down, and was fortunate enough to qualify for the World Junior Championships in 2018 in Finland, which was a great experience running against some of the best in the world. My final had Jakob Ingebrigtsen in it. People probably know who that is. And Jared Nagus as well. So that was pretty cool to look
So
back on.
good.
And yeah, just kind of progressed through, still training with Brian. At this point, was pretty much running on my own in every workout, every session, where the guys that I had been training with had moved on to greener pastures of university. And it got to the point in 2021 where I'd got my 1500 down to about 3:38, I think, and wanted to make that next step, and didn't have the people to train with at Border Striders and with Brian. So I made the difficult decision to move on from there, and Brian was always very supportive of that. He was great, and have nothing but kind words and admiration for him as a coach. He was fantastic, and he introduced me to my now coach and manager, Colas Birmingham, and Nick Beddoe was my manager, but not anymore, due to his role at Athletics Australia. So he introduced me to them, and that's moved under Colas with Melbourne Track Club in 2021, and that's who I'm still coached by and training with now. We've got a nice little Brisbane branch going at the moment. I had mentioned before Jack Bruce, the Gregsons, like Genevieve and Ryan, Liam Bowden, Cara Fee and Ryan. So it's a
Yeah.
good little squad now we've got going on a Tuesday, sometimes Thursdays. But every Tuesday we turn up to the track together and do our session, and it's good.
Yeah, and Callum, I was kind of reminded of your progression over the years too, searching you through Google today. And I mentioned quickly too, I found another Callum Davies over in Perth who'd been jailed. So I got scared
We
for about 1 second
won't
until I
mention
realized
him.
it. Yeah, until I realized it wasn't you. Obviously, it wasn't. But yeah, just getting quicker and quicker over the years. Like obviously, you're at that age now where you can continue to get better, and you know many athletes can peak and continue at this age. But yeah, down at 3:35 something now, isn't it? That PB for the 15, and what's the 5K at?
335.1, I think, around in Bankstown last year. And 13:47 for the 5K, which I ran in Adelaide last year, I think.
That's
I've run
fantastic.
13:47 a couple of times, so I'm not sure which one's my PB.
Yeah, so right now in Australia, you'd be sitting higher in that 1500 or lower, so to speak. Better
Yeah,
rank.
definitely.
Yeah. So guys, let's backtrack a week to the Ballarat marathon event, and I'd just love to hear about how your experience was. We had several people, both rec runners and some of those more sub-elite runners too, heading down from Brisbane to Ballarat to compete in that event, and it's hard to sort of fully experience that when you're not there and you're sort of following online and seeing results and splits come up and hearing stories from people. But yeah, how was your experience firsthand? If I went to Aiden first before you even talk about the overall result, I think that was your second fastest marathon too, wasn't Aiden? Surely top three.
Oh yeah, I'm not sure actually. Yeah, well, the reason that I went down to Ballarat was to really try to chase that time. I had heard from last year that it was a super flat course, really fast. Last year there were good conditions. I did hear rumours about the wind and the weather though. Apparently, it is fairly notorious around the lake there to have
Yeah.
some pretty strong wind gusts. And on the day, yeah, the temperatures were beautiful. It was perfect. It was only really, yeah, just a 3K section around the lake there that the wind kind of picked up. The first lap for us was fine. We had a really big group, but yeah, a few hills in the main street there as you kind of go from the start line up the hill, and Callum would have had the same thing in the mile. It's
Oh,
about sort of
really?
kilometer, yeah, kilometer
Up the
uphill,
hill
and
in the
then,
mile. Yeah.
yeah,
And just
and
quickly on
then.
the sorry, the lake loop, why is that just more exposed to the wind, like geographically? Is that why it's windier out there?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think so. I think it's just Ballarat, sometimes it picks up a bit of wind. I think it's reasonably high up as well. I don't know if you know, Callum, is it like
Yeah, it's
500, 600
about
meters or
500 meters, I think.
Yeah, right.
And the wind, I think it just comes off because there's no real protection from it. It just comes off that lake and it hits you as you're coming around the corner there. Or around the side, depending on which way the wind's facing. But we got a briefing the day before. Steve Monteghetti got up, and he knows that lake, the road around that lake, like the back of his hand. So he gave us a really good weather forecast for it and told us what to watch out for. So that was really helpful. But yeah, I knew that it was going to be a super fast course, and I thought, well, I need to get a time on the board. I really wanted to crack that 2:20, so I thought we'll give it a shot. And yeah, started building up the training, was putting together a really high mileage block, one that I was really happy with. And I thought that I was absorbing the kilometers quite well, but got sick and ended up with a few little injury issues with my shin that knocked me back a little bit. It took me out for a couple of weeks in the lead up, and I missed a few of those really key sessions that I wanted to get in the legs in the lead up. And yeah, I think that probably hurt my chances a little bit, but I was still pretty happy with how it all went. One thing, if you are looking at going down to Ballarat though, is that the accommodation down there, I wasn't really very organized. About 3 months out before the race, I thought, okay, yeah, we'd better start looking at some accommodation. And I jumped on, had a look to try to find something, and everything was sold out. There was an Airbnb that a lady was trying to sell or to rent out a room in her house for $1,000, and I went, gee, that's they're just trying to make money here. But
Oh yeah.
yeah, no, I was I actually went out and bought a swag. I was very nearly just going to take the swag down and go, well, find somewhere while I'm down there, find a place, a spare bit of floor in the town hall or something. But very luckily, Keith Hong, who was the elite athlete organizer, and I think he does a lot, might be like part race director as well. He reached out and said, no, don't worry, I'll find something for you. And he ended up letting me stay in his room with, he had a spare bed there. So he looked after me very well.
Is it a couple of hours from Melbourne, Ballarat, is it?
Yeah, you fly into Melbourne, and he gave us a code to get on the bus. The bus was actually fantastic. It meant that we didn't need to go into Melbourne at all. So just like an hour and 20 minutes or an hour and a half, I think, going.
Yeah, a bit of a commute on the day, isn't it? If you're staying in Melbourne for Ballarat.
Yeah, I think Callum might have got a lift though. You had someone come pick you up. Jude pick you up, did he? Or
Jude Thomas lives in Melbourne now, so
Oh, yeah.
he drove Jack Bruce and I out there very kindly. Well, he was racing as well, but that was very helpful. Were
Yeah,
you
so
with Colas there? Did you stay?
No, he was in China.
all right.
He was at the Xiamen Diamond League.
Yeah, Callum, you alluded to the whole road mile scene, I guess generally before, but there's not many, is there? And I think that was your PV of 4:03, if I got that correct in this race. But you placed third, and yeah, who were those first two in first and second, and how was your experience in the race and the event itself?
Yeah, so that was only my second road mile. I'd done
Yeah, there you go.
one in Leonora a couple of years ago, the out in the outback in WA, which I think was 3 560 or 70 meter laps with
Oh,
six
geez.
hairpin turns. So I think at the time I ran the race record of about 410, which shows that that course isn't particularly quick.
No.
This one we thought, oh, this will be much faster. Walk out of the start line from the town hall, and you're just looking up a hill for about 400 meters. We're like, oh, fair enough. Okay. But yeah, so he's still part of the MTC, or well, part of MTC in Melbourne now, but my ex-training partner, Jude Thomas, he won the race at about 401, 402, I think. And then Jack Anstey, another Queenslander, so Queensland 123, came second
Yeah, how good.
In that one, and he's actually the Australian record holder in the road mile, I believe.
Ah, so what is that time? That's sub four then, or?
Yeah, 3:56 maybe, but they did reset a bunch of the world records and national records recently when it became a World Athletics certified event. So people have
Yeah.
run 3:45 in road miles, but they're not certified courses. So I think the official record's about 3:56, and Jack has that.
He's done a very quick 1K too, hasn't he? Maybe on the track that one.
Yeah, indoor, I think.
Yeah,
He's run 3:51 for an indoor mile, and so is Jude, actually. So they're both, yeah, very fast
There's
over the mile.
been a fair few Australian championships now where the Queenslanders have dominated.
Yeah,
Yeah,
we
it's
have
so good to see.
one, two, three in the road mile, 1, 2, 3 in national 3K, so that's always good fun.
Yeah, it's just good to see it sort of spread out across the country now instead of just coming out of that Melbourne Track Club and those sort of areas. So that's awesome, hey. Top three claiming that podium as Queenslanders.
Yeah, although still Melbourne Track Club, just not based in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, let's look into this 1500, maybe the mile as well, Callum, and the marathon to Aiden a bit more so. And I'd love to start domestically in Australia. And I know, Aiden, you're passionate for local running, and this is a Local Legends in Running podcast. And I think it'd be awesome to talk about this country first, because we've had, 6 to 7 Australian male runners and female runners in the last 3, 4 years reaching that top 10, for example. Like, what in your mind has culminated to such fantastic and fast results, Aiden, do you think, over this time? Is it, do you think, a combination of a few things? Is there one thing like the culmination and compounding effect of training in these new shoes too, as well? Like, they didn't, Aiden, the records didn't used to fall as quickly as they do now, and that goes for worldwide too, hey.
Yeah, I think definitely. I mean, the shoes obviously they play a part in it in terms of the times, but I think even outside of the shoes though, just everyone is lifted to another level. I think with a lot of the events where previously I was, maybe a bit more competitive in now, they're just like it's everyone's really stepped up. I don't know what it is, so whether it's just the hype around the sport, exposure. Younger kids looking up to runners locally that they can see a pathway for. It's a sport that, I guess, with athletics, the challenge is that it's hard to compete with other sports like football and cricket and all these other sort of team sports where there's actual career pathways in them. It's really difficult to make a living out of running, but I think we're starting to now see that. Yeah, a few athletes are able to do that. Gout, I guess, is a great example that as a teenager, he's able now to earn a good professional living out of running, and he's got this exposure and kids look up to him and we're getting record numbers at events and things. So this is only going to really boost the sport. In the lead up to Brisbane 2032, it gets me excited because I've got kids sort of at a young age that I really hope that eventually they get into running, but it just boosts the chances of that happening. If we've got really exciting races to watch, we can see domestic athletes running well locally and they look up to that and go, yeah, I want that to be me one day.
Yeah, and you think sometimes too, it's just the mental part of it, as in, 3 years ago, Brett Robinson broke that Australian marathon record. And I'm looking at the top 11 here, which I've sent you guys as well in our agenda. But 2022 was Brett. And then, roughly, if I've got these in order correctly here, Liam, 2023. And then we've had Pat Tiernan come through in 24 and Tim Vincent there too into the ninth position, Andy as well, before he's now got that Australian record. So, do you think sometimes, and Callum, you'll probably talk shortly about the 1500 as well, where I think also a similar effect where someone just steps that bar a little bit higher, and there's just the fruit's hanging higher for other runners to aim for, and that's just getting faster and faster in that sense.
Yeah, and I don't think it'll be long before we see Liam Burden in that list as well.
What, 211 was it? What does he run?
210 low.
210 low, yeah. Yeah, so he must be. So we've got the top 11 here, and I must have cut Liam off there at maybe 12 or 13. Then, do you think, fastest of all time in Australia?
Yeah, he'll be there in his next one.
Yeah. Oh,
He
yeah.
cows me up on the every Tuesday, so he'll be there very soon.
And then obviously the women. Let's not forget about them. We've got Sinead, Jen Gregson, Lisa Waitman, Izzy Bat Doyle, Jess Denson, Eloise Wellings. Ellie Pashley, 2019. So I'd lo love to know what shoes she wore then as well. Not that this conversation's about shoes, but just came to mind. And Millie Clark in 21. So there's about seven there in the last handful of years too. And the women's, obviously, a number of those too having babies, definitely being older. I wonder too, what do you think, Aidan, with the women, how they're able to run at an older age and be better and better comparative to men? What's
Yeah,
your thinking
well,
there?
I don't know. I hope to prove that wrong. My goal is, well, I mean, I'm not anywhere at the same level, but my goal is to be as competitive as I can be for as long as I possibly can. But yeah, certainly looking up to all of the female marathon runners. They're running so well, going into their mid-40s. So that's yeah, it gives me hope really that previously you think as a runner, oh, you can peak in your 20s and you might be able to sort of hold on a little bit in your early 30s, and then it's kind of all downhill from there. But seeing that people are able to break through and run competitively. Liam Adams, for example, he's the same age as me, or maybe a few months older, and he's been just running incredibly. And yeah, so there's a lot more runners now, I think, that are running for longer. And I don't know whether the shoes are kind of having a bit of protective contribution to that. It means that you're able to run for longer as you get older. Your body's not sort of taking as much of a beating as it used to. But with those like all of these names that we see on these Australian lists, I think the one thing that really I don't know, frustrates me. Or one thing that I'd love to see is that we very rarely see all of our top distance runners come together to race,
Oh, yeah.
like in the marathon. And I don't know if it's just the way that the system's set up that we don't have these opportunities for them, or there's no incentives to do that, or perhaps there's some kind of perverse incentives that exist out there to avoid head-to-heads or what it is. But what I would love to see is in Australia, we've got such well, growing depth in the marathon, but we want to continue to invest in that to grow it. And I think the best way to do that is if we can support Australian marathon runners to get together and race and support them, show that, if you want to get into marathon running and if you do well, then you'll get supported for doing that. We need to get more races that are offering these incentives to bring together huge fields. Like, how great would it be? We talked a bit about this just around the agenda and interest in the London Marathon and the results, and that doesn't excite me. It doesn't inspire me seeing all of these other international runners, and we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to bring them to Australia, and then we see like the previous winner of the Sydney Marathon getting done for doping. And imagine though if we rather than investing in bringing all these international runners into Australia, we invested in just developing our local talent, like creating an event where we support the opportunity to bring together as many runners, like give them development pathways, and it gives then athletes some hope, something that they can aspire to. And hopefully that'll mean that we just grow the depth, and with more depth, then hopefully we start to see the more talent rising to the surface.
Yeah, completely agree. And it's almost like we just see races and times pop up internationally. That is, like, you'll see Tim Vincent somewhere over the world, and then Liam Burden and Andy Buchanan, and often they are by themselves from Australian sense, and even not going with two or three others as well to a certain event, just because they want to latch onto those fast runners, those big packs, head to places like Valencia. Do you think it's now a matter of maybe latching onto Sydney, Aiden, and Sydney becoming now world major, to that's the big draw card? Because, like, of course you can think of Gold Coast and Melbourne and Sydney itself have been those sort of three leading marathons in the country. Are you talking more about the fact that these Australian fields, the elite Australian fields, just could be increased in depth, and having all these guys, like, we just rattle off the guys and women I've just mentioned earlier, to have them all in, say, a Sydney marathon event?
Yeah, I definitely think they're doing like they're aware of this. I know that they've put in place a lot of things to try to help support domestic runners and build those fields. So I think this year is probably going to be different. But yeah, it would be great. Like, I would absolutely love to see all of the top and developing marathon runners as well, just to have a huge field to put together, like a big group, like going through in Ballarat. I think the first 20K, we had a ridiculous number of people in that group with us. It was probably like, oh, I looked around and I think it would have been at least 20 people. But if we could get a group of runners together, like up the front, and yeah, make it a bit more interesting, a bit more competitive. Show that there's an opportunity if you focus on the marathon and you do well, you can get support to come and do more of these races. And yeah, hopefully we start to see more people stepping up to the marathon and making it exciting and building the sport.
Yeah, how can we, like, otherwise than this? Because, like, we see the indoor season in America just is crazy, Diamond League and that kind of thing. Like, what can we do in this country other than saying, hey, everybody come to Sydney Marathon, and it'll change the landscape of running, like, recreationally? And Callum, out there, like, there's a lot of people plodding along, and for very good reasons, socially, mentally, and physically running. But I think still, from that following from an elite point of view, and also the influences too, like, that's another story too. The influencers who are maybe aren't elite runners, who are influencing out there in ways that don't promote these top-end runners.
Yeah, and I guess like when we're looking at supporting or putting the spotlight on people, I think that
We often put the spotlight on influencers because they're professionals. That's what they do. But by putting the spotlight, the attention on influence as opposed to the athletes, like, is that developing the sport? Is it building the sport? I don't know. I mean, the influencers contribute a lot in, I guess, bringing in like more people into running. But if we want to show that there's a pathway to, like a performance pathway, you can turn this into a career. You can do something with it. I think that we want to shine the spotlight on athletes like Callum Moore, show that the incredible work that they put in on a day-to-day basis to get to the level that they're at. I think that's the sort of story that, I guess I'd be interested in hearing.
Oh, 100%. Like Callum sitting in pretty much the top 10 1500 meter runs in this country right now. Then you look at say NRL for example, and you can't sort of say who are the top 10 players in rugby because that's quite a ambiguous question. But all these guys are well known, hey. And obviously it's hard to compare to a sport like that, but that's pretty crazy to think, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's a poll I saw last year that it was like the best run in Australia, and Ned Brockman won.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the nature of the game, and in branding and marketing, and where the money comes from. But it's yeah, that was infuriating to see.
Yeah, and it's sort of making people follow these ridiculous feats, and it has led Aiden to a lot of runners into the marathon way too quickly, I think, too. Like you and I have been around for a while, we're a similar age, and you started running longer events than I did at a younger age, but it takes some time to develop, doesn't it? And from the marathon upwards too, they're just trying to achieve such crazy things. And why isn't it enough just to run a 1500 on a track? Why does it need to be so far? It's such an exciting event, the 15 and shorter events. I wonder what we've lost there.
David Goggins, it's not worth it unless you break yourself doing it.
Yeah, I think it's more relatable to someone that doesn't understand running. Like if you say to somebody, I finished a marathon, versus I ran a 335 1500 meter race, like, people understand I finished a marathon, but they don't have like an understanding of just the enormity of running that time in a 1500. And it's only 1500. Like, it's not something that people understand as well. And I think it's also like the challenge of it. For a layman who's just getting into running for the first time, your average punter, if you're faced with a choice, do I go out and dedicate myself every day, put in the training to run as fast as I can for 5K, or to finish a marathon? It seems more impressive to finish a marathon, to run the fastest that you're capable of running for a 5K. Even though, I'd argue that I'm more impressed by seeing someone get the absolute most out of their potential in the 5K versus just getting across the finish line in a marathon.
We are a bit biased there, though. Like, we've all run on the track our whole running career, so it's a bit hard to compare to the properly recreational crowd, I'll call them. But yeah, it's the issue I see with the whole influencer and the running boom at the moment. The influencer crowd is that you only see the good things. You don't see what happens to people. Like, oh, I ran a marathon with no training. Fantastic, you see that on Instagram, but then you don't see that they can't walk for 2 weeks afterwards. It's just the highs and not the lows, and it's selling a fake narrative or a false narrative to people that is disappointing to see. And then when you see people, I've seen it firsthand, they get into running and it's not what they expect. They're not prepared for this mentally, they're not prepared for it physically, and it kills the sport for them. It's like, why would I do this? If this is what running is like, why would I do it? It doesn't have to be like that if you prepare properly. And it's,
And I
yeah.
think just imagine guys like Ned Brockman, and I'm just using his name because I don't follow many of these athletes running the ultra or long, super long distance events, but their bodies, like in years to come. And I'm nursing an injury right now, hip injury, which is like the first sort of, I'll call it an old man injury, Aiden. being in my mid to late 30s now, and I haven't been injured for years, but just experiencing this over the last 3 months has been gut-wrenching. And I'm only at that age. I want to be running into my 60s like my dad. So how can these people, try and achieve such things so quickly and think that they're going to come out of it okay? Like, you could screw things up for life from a muscular tendon or bone point of view, hey.
Yeah, and that's exactly the reason why we should be putting the spotlight on, well, experienced professional runners, because they're the ones that are doing it properly. They're the ones that I think probably are the experts in how to do it well at a high level. Like you wouldn't, no one would go out and do the same level of training that Callum's doing from scratch. But you can look at training, like Callum's training over the years, his progression, and that's what we should be learning from. Like, how do we shine the spotlight more on that than someone that goes out and just runs like absurd distances in a very short period of time with no real foundational base?
Yeah, we've got to look. This might be questionable for Callum too, but you've certainly been on the track on and off too, Aiden. But how we can make that more exciting? And I was out there with Aiden about 2 or 3 years ago in a 10K championship Queensland event. And I'm thinking, well, why am I in it anyway? I only ran a 34, 35, 10K in that, and this is the Queensland champs. There was a guy that ran 42 minutes to come last, and the winner was your old mate Gus Gannon, I think, in that race at a 30-minute 10K. And now they've scrapped that event because no one was doing it. And how is it so distant from participation in road running events, do you think?
I feel like there's just a perceived barrier to entry for the track that people feel like they have to be fast before they can do track races. And that's not true at all. That's like why we have multiple heats at our Shield meets and Vic Milers down in Melbourne and whatnot. But I think it's going back to what Aidan was talking about before as well, that in the recreational running crowd, that it's seen as more impressive to finish a marathon, and finishing a marathon is very impressive. I could go and do one tomorrow. It would not be fun. I would be very sore for a week. I could
You can
do
do
it, but I've also been running for 16 years or something. No, that's not, oh God, it is 16 years, a long time.
it.
And yeah, I think for someone just getting into it is a barrier to conquer to finish a marathon. And if you're thinking about doing a marathon, you're not thinking about finishing a 5K. And it's, I think people, yeah, they think they have to be fast to run on the track, which is not true. And it's not killing the sport at that level, but it's, you don't see people getting into athletics later in age. You have to come through as a kid and as a junior. And then they're the only participants in track and field as adults.
And being supported by, well, a coach firstly, but also like a really good squad. If you go and join a run club, it's great in terms of participation, but there are no real experts there. There aren't people who have gone through it and know what it's like, putting in the mileage and doing training to really optimize your potential. So yeah, I really would encourage anyone that's sort of getting into running to, well, firstly find a coach, but then also find a squad, just a group of people that not only will call you out for doing dumb things like running Toowoomba the week after I'd finished a marathon, which Callum I think will probably call me out on next time we catch up for our long run. But yeah, having people that you can look up to, that you can get ideas from, you can bounce bounce training philosophies back and forth with them and work out what works, what doesn't. I think that's what really grows mature athletes. And you see that with a lot of the mature squads as well, like groups that have been around for years and years. You kind of get those athletes within the group that have that knowledge, and they kind of share that with the junior runners, and then the junior runners get older and they start dominating. Like Jude Thomas is a great example of that. Started out in Ipswich with the Nancy Runners with Peter Reeves, and then jumped in with MTC and was training with Callum and the guys in Brisbane, and he's now based in Melbourne. I think he's actually racing in 15 minutes in the Diamond League tonight.
Oh, yeah.
35 minutes, maybe.
35 minutes, right? But yeah, Jude is, yeah, he's grown up in that environment where he's had people around him supporting him and giving that advice and guidance. And yeah, I think we just need more of that. That's how we grow our sport. Yeah, make athletes better just by sharing that knowledge.
Yeah, I think you really need someone to driving the track scene in your running group as well. Like, as you alluded to, Aiden, most running groups out there are just to get people running and completion and running further and further, and it being quite social and a positive, and it is a good thing for mental health too, I guess. But we're at this point in time, we're comparing how we can get people doing track. But I'm a part of the Bush Durkee Track Club here in Brisbane, a faster rec group, shall we call them, and the core of this group really promote the runners getting to track through summer. And Callum would agree, in summer, and Aidan would know too, it's a lot hotter in Brisbane, and running shorter is a lot easier than running longer when we're hitting 30 degree temperatures. So it lends itself nicely in, I think, summer in Brisbane to be out there. But I think also, do you think, gents, there's some barriers there, like, as well, in terms of QA? And I'm going to say this as respectfully as I can, but it just seems signing up online can be a bit of a process. Like, you need a QA account, you got to assign a club to yourself before you compete in an event, then you've got to choose that event and give a time, like a running time that you've done somehow to get into that race, and you got to rock up and put all the two bibs on with pins and line up, and you're probably more exposed to, like, if that makes sense. Like, maybe runners become a bit more self-conscious as opposed to being in the masses out at the big fun runs. I'm not too sure. What do you think?
Yeah, I was actually thinking somewhat along those lines before that when you're just getting into road running, if you're not running very fast or you've blown up because you've gone out too hard or whatever, like you can hide in the crowd, but there's no hiding out in the track. And believe me, I know I've had some long, long days out there that you just feel like everyone's watching at you and thinking, what is this guy doing? And yeah, it's you feel very exposed. And I can't imagine what that would feel like for someone who's not done that before. Like I've been doing this for years and I still get that feeling sometimes.
One thing that I do like about the running community, though, is that you feel like that when you're out there. Like, oh, I'm letting people down, or I'm coming in last, or. But the reality is that you look at the Strava comments after a race where you've just absolutely tanked it, and everyone's really supportive. Like, it's I think the community that we have is really good. In building runners up and supporting them, but also being realistic, like recognizing that running is such a brutal sport. Like, you dedicate so much of your life to it, and things can go wrong so easily, both like in the race, but also in the lead up to it. I mentioned before in the build up to Ballarat, I had like pretty significant bout of sickness, and then either a muscle strain or tear, or a I was a bit worried it might have been a stress fracture for a while, and then it put me out. But these things come up, and you've got to have, like, individually, that resilience to be able to get through it. But I think as a community, everyone kind of recognizes that running is so difficult, so you just kind of have to support everyone. I know that Callum was out with you're out with a bit of an injury for much of last year, and it's been a real challenge to get back to where you've been at.
My first major injury in September last year. Didn't run for 3 months with an Achilles issue, so that was challenging. It was always nice to get messages from people asking how I was going and check in with me, and it's such a little thing from them, but it means a lot to the person getting that message. And I think, yeah, although you might think people are judging you and laughing at you, that's definitely not the case. The running community in general is very supportive. And of course, you get some dickheads out there. Sometimes I'm the dickhead, but the vast majority of people are very supportive. And everyone just wants everyone to do their best,
Yeah, and I
whatever
think
that
it's
is.
relative to how fast you are. Like, if people know you're, say, a 20-minute 5K runner, or 30 minutes, whatever that may be, if that then runner runs 19 or 29 respectively, that's recognized. But also, I think, as I mentioned, I've experienced this injury in the last few months, and I ran a 40-minute jog for like 5:30 pace a few days ago and get all this kudos and a few comments from mates that I know, and it was just so rewarding to see that. And that can be similar by seeing someone's Strava running around a track where they may have been lapped three times and not run as quickly as they could have, but it's a fast place to run. They're likely to run well, and I think they'll be acknowledged in that way. And yeah, maybe it's a matter of just getting out there and experiencing it. Shall we get into the Australian scene? Do you think, Callum, in the 1500? Because as I mentioned before, there's probably around 10 blokes 335 and under. Correct me if I'm wrong, and add any names in here. Ready for this? Jude Thomas, Cam Myers, yourself, Cal, Jack Anstey, Stewie McSwain, who's been a bit absent in the last year or so, but he's up there, obviously. Ollie Hoare, Jai Edwards, Jesse Hunt, Adam Spencer, I think, is not on that list I have there, guys, and Peter Boll. Anyone I've missed that is in that ballpark?
I should know this.
Hanson, James Hanson.
James Hansen ran 3:36 this year. Connor Whiteley ran 3:36 last year. There's a couple of guys in college, like Harvey Cram, Brisbane boy. He ran 3:37 a week or two ago, which was
In
a
America.
big PB. Yeah. There's Tom Palfrey at Oregon's run 3:37. Matt Ramsden's a 3:33 guy at his best. He's ran
Yes,
3:34
yeah,
2 years ago,
of
but he's just had a shocking run with injuries. Like, he's when he's healthy, he's one of the best in the country. It's just, yeah, he's had a tough run of it the last year or so. So when he's back, and I know he's on the comeback at the moment, he'll be back up there as well.
Any word on McSwain?
He's training. That's all I know. Yeah, he had a really unfortunate incident in Boston where he slipped on some ice and hurt himself in between races while he was overseas. He only got to do one race in the indoor season, or one or two races in the indoor season, where he was lined up for that 5K where Jude ran 13:09,
Yeah.
and Jack Rayner ran the Aussie record 12:59.
Yeah, indoor record, yeah.
Yeah, so unfortunately his trip was cut short from a slipping on ice incident, which is nothing I've ever had to, thankfully, ever had to work through, being from Brisbane. But I know he's back training now.
Yeah, so like let's rewind like 10 years ago, and I was probably felt and I definitely was following the sport less 10 years ago, but Ryan Gregson comes to mind around that time, maybe a little bit less than that, but like there was certainly not, from what I know, 10 to 12 to 13 runners around that mark that many years ago, even 7 years ago. Would that be correct, do you think?
Grego, Ryan and Jeff Risley were kind of
Yes,
far
yep.
and away the two best 1500 meters at the time. I think
Luke Matthews.
someone like Jeremy Roff was good as well, but it was definitely, if you're looking on the Diamond League circuit at World Champs and Olympics, it was Grego and Risley were kind of the two standouts. And yeah, and nowadays there's just so many people, and I think that's a number of reasons. Like, the shoes, I think, do help the 1500. Whether the spikes are that important or not, okay, depends who you ask. But definitely, just in training, being able to do more training and stay healthy, it's just a snowball effect where you just get better and better and better and better. And I think there's just a lot more knowledge and expertise out there now, that there's so much online. You can read how Steve Ovett, Seb Coe trained. You can read how Jakob Ingebrigtsen trains. You can know how Cheptegei and Kipchoge train. You can see how these elite world-class runners train, and how, and most importantly, I think, how they live and treat their body and do all the things right in terms of recovery, eating, all of those kinds of things. Anyone can access that knowledge now. And maybe back in 2006, 2010, it was like, it was more, that was the knowledge your coach would pass on to you, whereas I can just go and find that all at my fingertips now.
Yeah, the iPhone era has changed that.
Yeah, so I think everyone, from what I've seen, and I've spent a lot of time with some very, very good runners over the last few years in Europe and down south, that everyone is just such a consummate professional now. Like every little thing is done correctly. And if you do that and then you add in a bit of talent, genetic luck, you're going to get some people running very, very fast. And you look at Cam Myers, for example. Yeah, to run that fast that young is, he's just there's a genetic component to it, but I also know he works his butt off and he does every little thing correctly. And it all just combines to be him being one of the best in the world at 18 or 19. And it just, yeah. Of course, Stewie is kind of the trailblazer for Aussie 1500 meter runners a few years ago, taking it to the Kenyans and the Ethiopians in back in 2019, 2020. Of course, that starts the whole trend in Australia, but I think everyone just thinks they can be that good now because they think, why not? I see a high schooler, a 15-year-old in New Zealand running a
Oh
sub
yeah,
4 mile. Why can't I
damn
do that?
right.
Yeah, why can't I do that?
I like your point about professionalism too, because I think traditionally when we think of talent, we think of just that kid that comes out and dominates the school cross-country carnival, or just a natural ability to run well, or like a huge engine. But I think talent, it can be so much more than that. It's not just about like your physiological capabilities or capacity to be able to run well, but to be able to do that sustainably over a long period of time, like the consistency is such a huge thing in the sport. And in order to have longevity and also to really get the most out of you that you possibly can, that professionalism, making the right decision every time you're faced with a crossroads, I think that's so important as an athlete.
I think if anyone's wanting to see an example of that, I cannot recommend looking up Izzy Bat Doyle's social media more. Like she just is incredible. I've spent a lot of time with her away, overseas and down in Victoria and Adelaide, and ev everything she does during the day is to make her a better runner. And that could be eating the right things after training, eating the right things before training, getting enough sleep, doing yoga, Pilates, strength work. Even if it's just like, okay, I was pretty tired this morning, so I'm gonna put my feet up on the couch for an hour or two and watch Netflix, whatever. Everything has a purpose. And it's just incredible. She's a machine. She's so good at what she does. And it reflects in her running. She's just, yeah, she's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It's a very different culture too, isn't it? Running to compared to a lot of sports. We go back to the footy culture and we look at nutrition and drinking, for example. Like it's just not really a thing for a lot of good reasons in running. But that side of things, nutrition and drinking, I think, has almost like drinking disappeared and nutrition become like so important to get right. And one for marathoners, Aiden, is eating enough, because you would experience too, even 5 years ago, like the whole almost fasting run kind of concept has seemed to have disappeared. And now it's really about how much can you consume before, let's say in a race, before you're becoming sick, or how much in a training sense can you consume that you're staying at a good weight and a healthy weight. And I've heard of even mates and runners now in the marathon sense too, who might weigh a bit more than they used to, but they're faster, because nutrition's changed as well. So I think, as Callum alluded to, like, yeah, every part of the day is dedicated to it. And that's why it's a bit sad too, that professionally we aren't rewarded, and financially I'm talking about here, as much as other sports. When you look at those other codes too, they might have off seasons for weeks or even a month or so, and they're off partying and drinking and even through the season and things like this. And we've got runners 24/7 all year round, absolutely devoted to this.
Yeah, I think an important thing though is kind of sustainability of a long over a long long time. And if you're someone that likes a few beers on a Sunday arvo, and locking in for 6 months and not drinking is going to cause a bit of stress and worry, and you're not enjoying it anymore, then having a couple of beers every couple of Sundays is probably not the worst thing. But it's doing it in a sustainable way where, okay, I put in a good 3 weeks, I'm gonna have a bit of fun. That's fine. But it's doing it in a sustainable way that's not negatively impacting your general day-to-day training, I think. And that goes with anything, not just drinking. Could be going to a footy match, going to the beach, spending a whole day in the sun, whatever it is. Can't just be robots the whole time.
Yeah, it
But
needs to be
it's,
enjoyable. You
yeah.
need to have fun. And yeah, with the sustainability thing too, like you, and professionalism, making good choices or doing things that are going to be like the one percenters, and like on the food subject as well, it's not sustainable. Like you might, if you know, shaving off a couple of kilos might, you know, mean you're carrying less weight when you're racing. But the problem is, it's just not sustainable. You'll break down, you'll get injured, and then you go back two steps for every one you go forward. So it's, yeah, it's about making good choices that are going to keep you enjoying the sport, making you happy, but ultimately are going to, yeah, optimize your performance. And you can only do that if you're in the sport for a long time.
Awesome, guys. These conversations have headed in such interesting fashion. So it's been great to talk to you guys. Before we get to 2025 for both of you, very quickly, Callum, from the world scene, 1500 too, like we've got to look there. That's also just crazy in terms of depth. One ironic thing though is that Elgaroo still sits there a few seconds ahead. He's a 3:26. So I haven't got time. I hear the other times are on the left. There's a
Yeah.
few others there. Legat and Kiprop at 3:26, but he's a 3:26 flat. There just hasn't been. It's Ingebrigtsen, isn't it? The closest in most recent times to that, with a high 3:26.
He ran that last year, and I think a couple of them ran 3:27 in the Olympic final. So I'm going to predict that the world record goes this year.
Ooh.
I think it's right there for Jakob. Like he's always said in interviews that the 1500 is the hardest world record, and he's so close now, and he's just running with so much confidence that I think he'll definitely give it a crack this year, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets it. Partly because he's close, but he also knows he probably needs to be in world record shape to win the world champs this year, with how well the rest of the world is running now in the 1500, where he didn't even medal in Paris, which is unbelievable.
Okay, and quickly, how does that race look for Jacob when he breaks the record? Does he need to go to the front and stay there or apply another strategy? What do you think?
Yeah, he won't break it in the in a world championships.
Hmm.
He'll be in a diamond league where he has a couple of paces
Yeah.
to do it, where he'll just go for it, and the pace will be so fast that no one else will be able to stick onto it. I think it's trickier for him in a championship race where there's no pacer, which he's not won the last three global finals, which despite being probably the best runner in the world that year. So I think he'll try something new this year. He's tried to run them off their legs a couple of times, and it's not worked. So he might try something new in
Yes.
Tokyo in
Yeah,
September.
agreed. All right, this year, 2025, it's almost halfway through, Aiden. What do you got left for this winter season and potentially track end of year? Or trail. I should be saying trail.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that could be anything, couldn't it? Trail, cross country, road, jack of all trades. Well, tomorrow I've got the two and a half. So that'll just be a bit of a shakeout, a bit of a fun run, just to I enjoy the time out here. And then the state short course is actually next weekend. I didn't realize that. Are you doing that one, Callum?
No,
No. Okay. You sure?
unfortunately
Can
not.
we convince you?
You can. I'll give you Carlos's number. You can get him on.
I'll probably head out to state short course and then Brisbane Marathon, I think. It's been however many 18 years or whatever it is since I've
Yeah,
done
yeah.
that one. So might go out and have another go at that this year, and then Gold Coast maybe at a half, and Sunshine Coast half, and then I'm not sure about Sydney. We'll see.
You were chasing Tim last year in that half marathon, weren't you?
Sorry, what was
You were chasing Tim Vincent in that half marathon last year, weren't you?
that? Oh, yeah, I don't know. I think I got a bit too ahead of myself thinking that I could hang on to Tim. That was very silly. I was winning up until about the 8K mark, and I thought I rated myself as a bit of a chance. This was before he ran the what did he run the 2:00? Was it what's he run? 2:08,
2:09 for the
nine.
marathon.
Yeah, no, I dropped off him at about the 8K mark and just kind of death marched it in. But yeah, I'll probably do the marathon this year at Brisbane, and Cedar to Surf. I think it'll be number 30, 32 in a row this year, so I think. So I've got to
Yeah,
keep the
love that.
tradition going down there.
Love that. Very good. Callum, how about you, mate?
Don't know the specifics just yet, but I'm heading overseas towards the end of May, June, to Europe to have a bit of a European season, which I've done the last couple of years. That'll be good. Not entirely sure what races yet. There might be, I think there's one in Poland and then Norway to start it off.
When did you find this out? This is news.
Last week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, run the 10 saved my season. Oh,
That was a great run at Run the 10 as well. We should give you kudos for that. Second, and did you get on the board for that?
Oh yeah,
Yeah,
that kind of
seventh,
went unnoticed.
equal seventh all time.
Well
Done.
Oh, it's so good. So
So
good. And
that was good stuff.
your goals now in the 1500 time, like team related or anything else like placings or like competitively, positionally, that is, with other Australians. How does that look for you, Callum?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think in the past few years, I've definitely been time orientated with my goals, but this season was more just like getting back after injury, first time injured, trying to be competitive again. And it took longer than I would have liked. I had an okay run at nationals, just didn't have the legs in the last 200. So I think just want to get back to my best, be competitive in races, and then times and placings will come from that. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, gents, runners or listeners and followers can just follow you on Strava, can't they? You're both on there.
Yep.
And all your running's there. Nothing's hidden behind the scenes.
Most of my stuff's hidden, but
Yeah,
occasionally stuff will pop up.
well, very good. Otherwise, a bit on Instagram there. And that's another place they can follow these guys. So appreciate your time tonight. We've definitely covered the 1500 here in the country and the marathon, I think, pretty well. And also, I think the rec runners too will resonate with this as well, to try and get them out there and get them running and motivated to, yeah, just to keep running. And if getting fast is a goal, then I wish them the best of luck. And hopefully there's been some inspiration here from Callum and Aidan. So for the third time, Aidan, thanks for your time. And for the second time, Callum, on this show, thank you very much.
No worries, thanks for having us.
Thanks, Ellie.
Cheers. Thanks, guys. Did you know the Local Legends In Running podcast do online coaching? It's a massive 2025 with heaps of events coming up. If you're interested in getting a little bit more guidance in this running season, please jump on Instagram, follow the links, and happy to help out. Hope you enjoyed the podcast and jump on to Spotify to give it a rating. Much appreciated. Thanks for listening, guys.